Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we will face the issues. Our program is dedicated to seeking the truth when facing issues from the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17, 17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. We must keep in mind when we face issues, when we search for answers, when we're seeking to determine what God would have us to do, and the response we should have to those things that face all of us as human beings, we need to turn to the Word of God. What does Scripture say? What does God's Word tell us? You see, God's Word is not just a source book for truth. God's Word, the Bible, is truth. Thy Word is truth. If you want to call and have your input today, you can call us at 904-401-1413. That's 401-1413. We invite your calls, your participation, your dialogue. It can be about the subject that I'm discussing, or it could be about any theological, biblical, political, social issue that you would like to ask or discuss. Be delighted to enter into that dialogue and discussion with you. While you're pondering your question, let me first of all invite all of our listeners to participate in our worship service on Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church. We have the regular Bible study hour, some call it Sunday school, at 9:30, and at 10:45 we have the morning worship service, and then at 7 p.m. on Sunday evenings, the evening worship service. We simply focus on the Word of God. We preach and teach, thus saith the Word of God. We use an expository verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter approach to studying the Scripture. No frills, no show and glow. It's just simply, what does the Word of God say? Because when everything is said and done, regardless of the denominational distinctives, regardless of the denominational rites, rituals, rules, and regulations, when we get to heaven, the only thing that will count is what have we done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we know Him as Savior? So keep that in mind. You're openly invited to come and worship with us. We're right here in the heart of Mandarin on Old St. Augustine Road, First Conservative Baptist Church. Let me ask you a profound question. Should Christians worship or pray to a false god? Is God the only true God? What about over 300 million gods that are worshiped in India? Okay, what about Buddha? What about other so-called gods? Should believers pray to or worship Buddha? Let me use a personal illustration. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to share with a young lady. She was a foreign exchange student studying in one of our state colleges, and I went through the Scripture with her, what many call the Roman Road to Salvation. Read the Scriptures, shared with her what salvation is, talk with her about who Jesus Christ is and how it's needful and necessary to know Christ in a personal way as a personal Savior to be able to be born again, to have that place called heaven reserved for us. After a long pause, she said, and I quote, "I will accept your Jesus if I do not have to give up my Buddha." Let me give you her quote again. She said, "I will accept your Jesus if I do not have to give up my Buddha." You see, salvation, regardless of denomination, salvation regardless of rites, rituals, rules, and regulations, notwithstanding whatever a denomination might say, salvation is only Jesus Christ. Salvation is not by any other means, methodology, or mechanism. Salvation is simply saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Jesus plus nothing. Jesus minus nothing. It's Jesus only. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God incarnate. God come in the flesh. In fact, we as Christians believe in the Trinity, the triunity of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In Colossians 2:9, the scripture says of Jesus, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And then in verse 10 of Colossians 2, "And we are complete in him," speaking of Jesus Christ. Now, I am appalled, I am concerned, I am vitally sickened over finding so many modern so-called Christians, and those that claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that are designed to be politically correct, that continue the mantra and falling into the demonic trap of saying that Allah is God, and saying that Allah is the same as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Quran in Surah 112, verses 1, 2, and 3, and I'm going to summarize these surahs. They call them surahs. We call them verses. The Quran has 3,000 surahs. Surah 112, verse 1, 2, and 3, in summary says that Allah has no son. Surah 6:101 says that Allah had no wife, so therefore how could he have a son? Surah 72:3 says that Allah had no son. Surah 4:171, Allah denies the Trinity and rejects Jesus Christ as God come in the flesh. Now, if Islam denies Jesus Christ as God come in the flesh, and it does, if Islam denies the Trinity, and they do, if Islam denies the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and they do, if Islam rejects the scripture as being inspired, infallible, and inerrant, and they do, if Islam says that Jesus is only a good prophet and is less than the prophet Muhammad, then why is it we have so many that say they're saved that think that it's all right to embrace Islam or to embrace Allah? The Bible, the Word of God, is very, very clear that Jesus Christ is God and all other gods are false. And all other gods, that's with a little g, are to be rejected. Now, if you'd like to participate in this dialogue or discussion or ask your questions otherwise, you can call us at 401-1413, 401-1413. In the book of Jeremiah, in fact, I would encourage you to pick up your Bible at your leisure and just thumb through Jeremiah, but find chapter 23 and read 23, 24, 25 and forward. And you'll find what Jeremiah had to say in relationship to false prophets, false pastors, and false gods. Jeremiah 23:1, for example, says, "Woe be unto pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." In Jeremiah 23, verse 2 and following, dropping down to verse 26, "How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies, yea, they profit the prophets of deceit, and they're deceitful in their own hearts. Jesus himself warned of false teachers, and false prophets, and false preachers in the last days. In Matthew 7, verse 15 and 16, beware of false prophets. He's talking about the false teachers, the false pastors, if you will, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. That literally means on the outside, they look sleek. They look like the normal Christian. They fit in with the crowd. They have a lot of God talk. Many can quote scriptures. And yet the scripture says they're like ravening wolves. What are ravening wolves like? They're dangerous. They are seductive. They are deadly. They are willing at the drop of a hat, as you and I would call it, to take your life. Now, I pray that you've been tracking what I'm saying and the rationale behind what I am telling us. And it's from the scripture. If what I've said, and by the way, it's just a thumbnail sketch, we could go into great, great theological, academic, scholarly details about Jesus Christ as being the one God, manifest in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We refer to it as the Trinity, but it's literally the triunity of the Godhead. And we're not to worship any other God. So let me ask you a question. Why would a whole denomination, why would an entire denomination pray to Allah? Yes, the Presbyterian Church USA, in its General Assembly, just recently, prayed to Allah in their opening prayer. Who is Allah? Who is Allah? Is Allah the same as God? Is Allah the creator controller of the universe? Is Allah the Godhead that's spoken of in the scripture? Does Allah have any relationship to Jesus Christ? Now, I can tell you because of having in-depth study of the Quran, Allah is not God. In fact, the God of the Bible says that God loves the sinner and hates the sin. Allah, according to the Quran, hates the sinner. In fact, you will find out of the 3,000 surahs in the so-called Quran, which is a demonic, destructive book, you will find that 87% of that book has nothing to do with religion. The 13% amount of the book called the Quran that has anything to say about religion is a distorted, piecemeal, demonic juxtaposition of God talk. It has nothing to do with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It has nothing to do with the God of the Bible. Allah is the one that Muhammad chose when he went into Mecca and discovered the Kaaba box, and this is back in the 6th century, discovered the Kaaba box, and there were 360 gods, little crafted beings, some of wood, some of stone, up on shelves. And he destroyed all of the gods, that's the little g, except the moon god called Allah. The moon god was the god of the Bedouins, as they would cover the desert areas of that era, and the marauding bands and the caravans. They would take Allah, the moon god, with them. They would worship Allah, the moon god, and pray that Allah would send them rain. Now, I don't think I have to go into a fantastic amount of detail and draw an artist's sketch for us to understand that that alone will validate that Allah is not God. Now, I do realize that we have some preachers in America today. We have some so-called theologians today that are saying that God and all are the same. In fact, a major biblical translation organization recently printed a Bible in Arabic, And every reference to Jesus Christ as being the Son of God, they removed on the premise that they did not want to offend the Muslim. But yet they say on the same coin, same side, other side of the same coin, that they developed the Arabic Bible to be able to witness to the Muslim people for them to receive Jesus Christ. What Jesus are they presenting? What Jesus will they be presenting through the Arabic Bible that's void of any reference to Jesus Christ being the Son of God? You see, Jesus Christ is the creator control of the universe. In Colossians 1, chapter 1, verses 13 through 18, it says that Jesus Christ is the creator of all that is seen, all that is unseen, that is visible and invisible, everything that's on earth, under the earth, in the earth, and above the earth, that Jesus Christ created it all. And by him, speaking of Jesus, all things consist. That is, that Jesus Christ is the divine superglue that holds it all together. So, my dear friend, if you're listening and you think that somehow, some way, you can bifurcate the scripture and you can walk on one side of the fence and hold lock arms with Allah and pray to Allah, and on the other side of the fence you can claim to be saved and that you know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, you need to wake up, recognize your lostness, and get saved. Why would a whole denomination then pray to Allah? Yes. As I said a moment ago, the Presbyterian Church USA in its General Assembly prayed to Allah in their opening assembly meeting. Here's the article that I have printed for reference. CBN News reported the Presbyterian Church USA prayed to the false god of Islam, Allah, at its General Assembly meeting last week in Portland, Oregon. This article is dated July the 11th, by the way. The co-founder of the Muslim Education Trust led the attendees in the prayer. This is part of his prayer. I hate to even repeat it. It is so demonically inspired and so absolutely destructive for someone to hear it that may be a minuscule babe in Christ, because it sounds godly. He says, and I quote, this is the Muslim leader praying from the pulpit in the meeting of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA. Quote, Allah, bless us, bless our families, and bless our Lord. Lead us on the straight path, the path of all prophets, Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. In response to, that's the close quote, in response to the bigots and the Islamophobics, said also, prayed, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, let us praise the Lord. Peace be upon them and peace be upon Allah. There's a problem, ladies and gentlemen, with the Presbyterian Church USA. Let me just give you some scriptures that will be a warning to us. Deuteronomy 4, 35 and 39. Unto thee was also shown that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Verse 39. Know therefore this day and consider in thine heart that the Lord, he is God. In heaven above and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Deuteronomy 32:39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. 2 Samuel 4:22. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God besides thee. 1 Kings 8:60. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and there is none other else. Psalms 18:31. For who is God except the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God, except our God? Psalms 86:10. For thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Isaiah 46:9. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there's none like me. Mark 12:29-34, and I'll read a portion of it. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." John 17:3, "And this is life eternal, that thou might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Galatians 3:20, "Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one." 1 Timothy 1:17, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invincible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's go back to the point at hand. Why would a whole denomination have a Muslim come in and lead in the prayer for the convention and be praying to Allah? In his prayer, lead us on the straight path. For a Muslim to say that is saying, keep us in the Quran and following the Quranic path. And the path of all prophets. What were the path of all the prophets? Notice he included in the prayer Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. Under Islamic ideology, I can't call it theology, their philosophy is, their belief is, that Jesus Christ is simply a good teacher, a good prophet, and that Muhammad is the greater of the prophets. So you have a wicked, evil, lost man representing an evil, wicked, demonic religion called Islam, standing before the Presbyterian USA in a convention and leading the invocation, leading in prayer. It's evil enough and wicked enough and demonic enough for Rick Warren, as a false teacher, to bring Islamic imams into his church to damn the souls of multitudes that are anemic, immature, unlearned, or unsaved, and to believe that they can follow the Quran and believe what the imam tells them in the teaching that's allowed in Rick Warren's church. I'm appalled by it. I'm saddened by it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening and you're in the Presbyterian Church USA and you're saved, I'm talking about born again, blood bought, Bible saved, not a church member, not a denominational member, not just a Presbyterian, but that you're saved, get out of the church. Find a church where Jesus Christ is the central focus, where Jesus Christ is viewed as being God, God incarnate, without sin. The scripture says of Jesus, he had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. The sinless, high, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, prophet, priest, and king, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Find your church, regardless of the denomination, that believes the scripture, preaches and teaches the word of God, that follows the cardinal doctrines of the scripture, and will discount, deny, and reject everything that's called Islam and the false teachings of Islam and the false God of Islam called Allah. For an entire denomination to pray to Allah and represent the Presbyterian Church USA is a sin against holy God. And may I say again, at the risk of redundancy, if you're saved and you're in that denomination, get out. If you're saved and in that denomination, lead your local congregation to get out of the denomination and the organization called Presbyterian USA. May I remind you, we are recognizing from what we see taking place that we are in fact living in the last days. For in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, the Spirit speaketh expressly, that is clearly, in terms clearly understood, unmistakably, that in the latter times, that's what we're in today, some shall depart from the faith, that's talking about the Christian faith, giving heed, that is recognition, right away, to seducing, that is seductive, deceptive, deceiving spirits, evil spirits, and doctrines, that is teachings of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing that today. And the Apostle Paul continues in the second chapter, in the second Timothy in the third chapter, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." The Lord Jesus Christ himself warned us in Matthew chapter 7. Pick up your Bible in your leisure. The unit of thought in chapter 7 of Matthew starts with verse 13 and goes through verse 23. Verse 19, 20, 21, he says, "All that say, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And then he says, "In that day," he's talking about in the day of judgment, "many," that word many comes to the little Greek word megas, we get our word mega. "Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord," that word Lord means, is kurios, means owner, master, controller. "In that day, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not done great works in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out demons in thy name?" And Jesus says, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." You know what Jesus is saying? He is saying that in the day of judgment, multitudes of men, women, boys, and girls will become their own defense attorney. And they'll stand before the judge, the divine judge of all of the universe, Jesus Christ. And they will try to defend themselves on their good works, what they've done in casting out demons, what they've done in prophesying, what they've done, as I use the term in paraphrase, the Youngblood vernacular, paraphrased edition, "Lord, haven't we sung in great choirs? Haven't we led in great churches? Haven't we built great congregations? Haven't we done marvelous, wonderful things? Lord, we've even leaped tall buildings with a single bound. We've spoken in ecstatic utterances that nobody could understand." Jesus says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Iniquity is the word for twisted, perverted sin. "I never knew you." May I simply say, those of the Presbyterian USA denomination, based on what you have done, you're saying to the world that you are discounting and deceiving, discounting the Word of God, deceiving the people of God that's in your congregation, and are most likely going to be the cause and effect of leading multiplied thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, to a place called hell. Because you've led them to believe that they can pray to Allah, they can pray to a false god, they can believe in a false god, they can follow a false god and a false religion, and everything is okay. I say that's a good indication, ladies and gentlemen, that we are in the last of the last days. May I remind you again, our worship service is at 10:45 on Sunday morning, First Conservative Baptist Church on Old St. Augustine Road. We're located 1 mile south of I-295, 3.5 miles north of I-95. Services are at 10:45 Sunday morning, 7 o'clock Sunday evening. Bible studies at 9:30. We invite you. We welcome you. We look forward to having you as a part of our worship service, even this Sunday. Thank you for tuning in. We look forward to joining you tomorrow on Truth, the Truth Network, the Truth radio station, where we seek to find the truth of the Word of God.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast? 666. and multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.